they don't have to forgive you. They don't have to welcome you with open arms. Y'all weren't friends to begin with.
Yeah, these people
And
don't
he's
owe
like,
you.
he's playing the victim so hard when he's like, reads his Gandhi quote in Sauve or
Yes,
Kwan's class.
the we cannot forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. Like, choke on it, Rick.
Hello and welcome to your mom's podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we are discussing Degrassi Season 4, Episode 4, Mercy Street. Roses are red, Emma's got a new clique, and she's leading the charge to bully Rick. Rick Murray has returned to Degrassi because he wants to, and because apparently all of the adults in this town are incapable of telling him no. Still on the outs with Liberty, Emma joins Paige and her crew in their disdain for Rick, starting a clearly violent, peaceful protest. But when the already thin facade falls, Emma realizes she's bitten off way more than she can chew. Over at Liberty's hot tub, JT gets pantsed. Following this humiliation, a chance encounter with Craig's business has JT wondering if his relationship is so lukewarm because he doesn't measure up. But no. His girlfriend, Manny, who is his girlfriend, just doesn't like him like that. No, that was adorable.
Because, like, why does this girl just, like, want to be anywhere but, like, around? She's like, he's going to come up to me and talk to me. I just know it. I mean... Yeah, boo, he's your boyfriend.
Right.
He wants to interact with you. He wants to talk to you. Poor JT, but also someone had to say it because JT's been pissing me off for 3 seasons now.
She doesn't like JT.
She never liked
JT like that. She likes him as a friend. But, and I don't think JT likes Manny like that because what JT wants is a girl who's going to laugh at his dumb fart jokes. He wants like Toby, but hot. And like, that's fine.
But that's not who Manny is.
Is not, she checks one of those boxes.
She checks like, she's hot. And she, I think what she does gravitate towards is more of the Craig type. That's just the kind of guy that she gravitates towards. She does not like a guy who has a whole, but like his humor was not what made him like attractive to her. It was him being sensitive and him like being a friend and like being there when she needed it.
Right.
Like having a mature moment. Is what she was falling for, and that's why they even had their little rebound thing. Because she wouldn't have even like gave him the time of day, even though she was heartbroken, if he had not like basically been so sweet to her when she needed that,
and had his Superfly fries fall from grace.
Oh God.
I would just like to take a moment to say that diving off of an ironing board or otherwise into a hot tub is so fucking moronic. Like,
yes, you may. And I love how Liberty's just like, nope, I'm not doing it. Like, natural consequences, bitch. Like,
and also, like, We've known Liberty for 4 years now.
Yeah.
Why are we just meeting this little brother? Wouldn't he have been at Degrassi as a seventh grader? Is it still middle schoolers and high schoolers in the same building?
Danny's not supposed to be seventh grade?
Not as far as I can tell, because, like, in season seven, he's a junior.
Oh, I looked it up. Because, like, he's so fetus-like.
He's so fetus-like.
And if they're trying, and I mean, that would make sense because, as we've said, like, they are going to, they've started to phase out that whole storyline of Degrassi being a junior high with the merge and everything that they had to do to justify characters staying last year. Like, they don't really want to talk about that anymore.
Right. Like,
it's served its narrative purpose and we're moving on. So now we have people actually moving up through high school, and you don't even really want those younger kids there because you want to be able to progress into more mature themes quicker.
Right.
Without having to worry about, okay, there's still 12-year-olds in the mix. Like, that's weird. But, like, Danny's not a convincing eighth grader to me.
He's not an eighth grader. He's a ninth grader.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
That's...
According to what I could find on the Degrassi Wiki...
I've got to believe,
he is a ninth grader when he starts at Degrassi.
Wow. He looks just like they did in seventh grade.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
I think that's odd. And I mean, it's one of the ways, this is the first sibling, aside from Kendra, who they abruptly fucking black holed, that is like playing in a lower grade. So Danny, I don't know why they make him, why are they making him so, why didn't, I'm confused. Who is supposed to believe that that little boy is 13?
I don't know. I don't know, Avis. I don't like it. I don't like Danny.
I don't like Danny. I mean, in this point, they're still like, he's going to be the annoying little brother for quite some time. Like, they're not going to just, until he gets that glow up, like, way later, and like, Mia decides he's hot. He is not hot for, like, a long time. So,
well, and that, like, I don't know. Anytime I think of Danny, it's little kid Danny that I don't believe is a ninth grader.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's Danny dancing when Peter manages to be offbeat with just one solitary clap. He is so loudly offbeat.
And also, Caroline, everyone's like faces and reactions in that scene are the worst thing ever.
It's
the worst. It's like one of those scenes where I break it down by,
I love like, it though. Like, it's my scene favorite. By scene,
but it's because it's like the kind of like offbeat sort of humor that only Degrassi can produce.
Yeah.
With like so little, like just gesturing and like a lot of like, no, like the track is not too loud. It's just loud enough that like it's reasonable for him to be dancing to it, but you can still hear people's like breath and stuff.
Yeah. All right, Danny.
It's so weird. It's a choice. But the whole ironing board thing, I think it's funny that they choose to bring Danny in at this point because him and JT are doing the same shit. And we're supposed to like,
there's so much about this season that I'm just like not here for already. Like, as much as I love season four.
Yeah. I do love season four, but season four, I forget.
It's a journey.
It kind of, you're like brand new year, fresh start. And then it's going to get kind of dark pretty quickly here.
And that you started with a rape trial, boo. It's already dark.
I know, baby. I know. I'm just, It's like, we already knew about that shit. But it's like how Paige is like, really? Now? That's how I feel. I halfway forgot about this shit. At least the Canadian justice system is not that. I don't know. Comparatively, it might be very similar to how the American justice system would handle it. I'd really have to think about that. But I feel like it's just this is like the first episode where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be bummed out a lot this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even the B plot is supposed to provide some, like, you know, we're in the hot tub, it's sunny. Manny's talking about we're going to be 16 this year. And like, it's like, I don't know. There's something still a little bit light about it until, you know, we get that part at the end with Manny just saying, yeah, you're always farting and joking around. Craig is mature. It's just bummer. It's a bummer ass B plot, even though we know that this is how she felt. Like, to see, I think that there is something of puppy dog quality to JT that makes me feel sorry for him, even though I know, and maybe it's because he's being himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to be yourself. But for him to be like, just constantly rejected. And the stack of dimes moment is kind of brutal.
Yeah, that just feels like a dick move from Toby in particular.
Toby is the menace this season.
Toby is the menace. I mean, at least this episode, Toby is the menace.
Toby is the menace. No, Toby, I mean, is like, yeah, a little bit. Toby is the menace. I saw an opportunity and I took it. I did. He's like, fuck you, JT, because the amount of times that you stood around and laughed with other people at my expense, I'm going to call this out. And like, that sucks that that's the nature of their relationship, but I know that it wasn't Toby who established that dynamic, so I cannot, once again, be too mad at Toby. He didn't do this. He's just adapting.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair.
I mean, we've got to remember that Toby was the one being menaced at most of this, most points in this friendship, but it's not cool. I feel pretty bad for JT in the situation, but I don't know. I think it just gives Manny the perfect out to be like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't think I could have planned a moment better to show you.
Right.
Why we're just not.
It's all right, so fucking weird too. Like, the way that, like, she stops kissing him to talk to Craig and is like, oh, I'm not in the middle of anything.
The worst. Can I talk about how bad? And also, Craig, I had to put myself in Craig's mind because he sees a couple bizarre moments in this.
Yeah, in this B-plot. I feel for Craig in this B-plot. I feel B-plot. For
Craig because he's just like, he's just trying to mind his business. Yeah. He's minding his business and he's just like, hey, Manny, like, I did not mean to interrupt. You were full on making out. You were making eye contact with some. But, like, that's the thing. If she was just making out with him and had her eyes closed, like someone who wanted to be making out with somebody, she wouldn't be making heavy eye contact with Craig as he passed by. When someone's making heavy eye contact with you, when your lips are engaged with someone else's lips, it's kind of awkward. And you don't know whether or not to stop and engage. Not that this has happened to me, but I've just got to put myself in Craig's mind. If someone was making heavy eye contact with me that I used to like know in any capacity, I'm going to be confused as to if I need to respond to this and why you are making this heavy eye contact. I'm going to
walk fast.
I would probably avoid, because why are you still kissing this person? Yeah. Very awkward. And she's just like swallowing his spit.
Right.
Like, you weren't interrupting anything. Like, he has eyes, Manny. That boy can see. And then
JT
see.
All, like, trying to be threatening in the locker room.
Yeah. Right, like, mano a mano. Puffs up his little chest and is like, hey, you need to respect my relationship. And Craig is like, excuse me? What are you even talking? Whatever. Like, he's just so not tuned in to anything that's going on with JT. And I kind of think that includes Manny. I'm going to put Manny in that as well. Like, he does not, I don't know that he's really concerned about Manny. And I've kind of felt not. Like that he I don't know, his level of concern never rises above slight interest for Manny. So it's not like, and that's when he can see her. I feel like it's an out of sight, out of mind type deal. Like, if he can't see that girl, it's just not his thing. It's not working for him.
Right.
So, like, he's like, I'm not concerned with you or your relationship. I'm upset because I got dunked out by Marco on the basketball courts. No. I have just so much desire to know his inner thoughts. Like, I need the, especially the penis pump situation. You know, right. That he heard those sound effects. You know he heard stuff. And why were all why is this such a situation that multiple people are in one stall in Degrassi?
And not even the accessible stall.
Right, y'all are all crammed into, like, y'all are basically, like, one slip and someone's going in the toilet.
Like, I'm not comfortable. Like, I'm not uncomfortable physically, but, like, for the amount of space that I like, mm-hmm. I don't like a single stall. Like, I'm gonna use it,
right?
But it's, I don't hard like to it.
If it's hard to turn around in them, if you're like a fully grown person, versus trying to like cram three small children.
They're not even small children at this point. Like, they're small teenagers.
Yeah,
which is still teenagers. Like, they're small teenagers, but still,
they're. It's not like they're like, you know, 50 pounds each. And 4 foot's nothing, you know, they are literally, they are filling this little cupboard sized bathroom to the, this stall to the brim. And it's weird. And there's no way that anything else like that, it's going to be worse. Like, whatever you're doing in there is already bad. But like the three of you in there, nothing is good. Nothing is kosher about it. And I don't want to know. I'm with Craig. Like, you do right. not have to explain. I am just going to continue about my life. Because I really don't think these details are going to enrich it in any way. I'm going to be honest. Like,
I don't need to know about what's happening here. It's not my business.
And I'll never wonder. I will never wonder when I'm old and gray. I wonder what was occurring in that stall with those three boys at Degrassi when I was 16 years old. I don't think he'll ever wonder that.
Nope, not unless one of them dies in like a weird sex thing that's also very public.
He's like, man, that was connected.
Like, didn't like, I see him forefront. Tumble out of a bathroom?
Holding a penis pump. No, I'm joking. I don't even know. I don't think he sees the penis pump, but I think, because I think it's still in the stall, but he hears.
No, yeah, they put it in their backpack in the stall. Yeah,
yes. But he hears, out of the like,
box, like, it's so, it takes up so much space.
They gotta up the ante on this sex toy to school thing, though, which they will. Not too long, you know, not too far in the future, but I will say this is the first installment of a student bringing a sex toy or sex device to school.
As a sex accessory?
Accessory.
A sex accessory?
That almost gave me angina, Caroline.
That makes sense because you took on this very, like, wise old woman look as you said it.
It disturbed my spirit. Accessory. yeah. I think there's only one more occurrence, but that's enough. I think that's enough.
No, there's two, because doesn't Lola have, like, a keychain?
Oh, Lola has a keychain that she doesn't know is a vibrator. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
there's... She's like beta testing fidget toys over here.
She's like, you want to see? Do you want to touch? He's like, no. Put it away. Yeah, fun. Well, then we've got stuff to look forward to. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. I mean, what else in this B plot?
Do you think that Liberty is like, yo, just dump him, bro, because she wants to swoop in?
Because let me get at him. Because I want the skins. And the underskins.
She's like, JT will be broken, I'll swoop in.
Yes. Like a mother hen. Or hens can't. Can hens fly?
Not.
Well? Or to any heights?
Yeah, not well or far, but like, yeah, they can.
Yeah, they can.
They can leave the ground.
So probably not like a mother bird of no distinct.
Like, but they can fly like maybe breed. A foot.
I don't know if that's enough to save, to swoop in and nurse someone back and like take someone back to a nest to nurse back to health. But I don't think I don't think hens do that enough for what I'm thinking of. So yeah,
I don't know how we got on to
I'm Liberty swooping in. She's swooping in to,
it's
to pick
not
up
like a hen. It's JT's like a fucking baby bird of prey.
Yes. The baby
like a
bird.
Bald fucking eagle, Liberty.
Little broken leg. It's gonna lick the leg and then try to like pop the leg back in and nurse you back to bird health. I'm pretty sure that's what Liberty's saying in her mind. She's like, I'm gonna do so much nursing
break
back
up with
to health.
Nanny.
Break
be
up
brutal.
With it.
You have to be brutal.
But the compassion in her eyes is like, she's like, if you feel that way, sweetheart, you really need to
tell him it's about his stack of dimes. Really break him.
It's like, I can't do that. It'll kill him. Like, it'll kill him for me. That's what it's like. He's like, I am just the best thing that happened to him, and he shall just simply be devastated.
Oh, Manny.
He shall simply be beside himself and take to his bed like a Victorian woman during a mourning period. Like, I am just so done with her. Like, that's not, like, PSA, it is always better to break up with someone if you are no longer feeling the relationship for whatever reason. I promise you, as someone who has maybe had to do that, like, in a way that hurt me one time, because otherwise I was like, peace. It is hard. Like, I understand what Manny's saying as an adolescent, but like, even as an adult, it's not easy. I don't think it's ever easy to like hurt someone's feelings that you hopefully care about, but like, it is always better.
It's only
going to
get worse.
Right. Like, the shit is just going to keep, you're going to be with them for a longer amount of time. You're going to get more invested in whatever ways you've already become invested. You know, you don't want to continue hitching your boat to someone that you don't care for in the way to have a healthy relationship anymore. Like, once you look like literally wanting someone to forget you exist so that you don't have to interact with them, it's time to break up. It's time to break up, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's controversial to say. Liberty's the friend we all need, because you know what? Emma probably would have told her, JT's your friend. He was your friend first. He loved you when nobody else loved you, you whore. And you need to stay with him. You owe him. No, I really don't know
what
Emma's
other boy
take.
Is going to want the school slut.
The school slut. Yeah, Emma's just the worst in this episode, and I don't think that she would add anything of value.
Yeah, can we transition to the A plot? Like,
yeah,
I know we didn't
so
get
good.
Fully to the end. Like, Manny sees him using the penis pump. She breaks up with him because he's immature.
Right. And I mean, that's fine. Like, that's it.
And
literally,
this hopefully onward
we
to
talked
bigger
around
and better
it.
Things.
We did not talk about, I think the one thing I had to mention is why didn't you wait until you knew that you had clearance to use this penis pump? She had not been out of the room 30 seconds yet. You always wait 30 seconds. And I know she said she was going to the bathroom. She's Manny. She's going to take a long time in the bathroom if she's truly going.
Right.
If she's not, then you save yourself from having to pull your penis out of a penis pump in her presence. And now I'm good.
You don't want to say penis pump one more time?
I really think I've said it enough times.
Said what enough times?
If it's just the once, Caroline, then I'm standing by it. The sex object. The sex
I don't know
sexery.
What that is.
The the royal plunger of doom. Oh no, I'm not.
Wow, the lengths you just went to not say penis pump.
I go to lengths not to say words I don't want to say. Yeah. My one thing with Emma this episode is she is bitch.
Yeah, no, she's
like the whole sip of frap with gotta go sip a frap with Paige. And where the Enjoy fuck is Hazel? Time. Where's Hazel?
Hazel's there. She just doesn't really have any lines.
She's there, but is she there?
She's there.
There. It's Alex saying all the shit that Hazel should be saying.
Right.
Take. I don't think any. I feel like why you. So what they had to do in this A plot was give. Now we know Alex's mother is a domestic violence survivor. Mm-hmm. So that's how they bring Alex into the conversation about this issue. Because right. Otherwise, she's just a douchebag for co-opting this issue like she was there.
Right.
Like, everybody else involved and having, like, reactions to it, like Spinner and Paige, were there and actively involved, except for Jay. But Jay is a menace, an agent of chaos, as you've said right. before. And that's his thing. But no. Alex specifically has to get involved with Emma.
Because why is Emma there? With her because why is Emma there?
Oh, because at the beginning, Spinner said, she's your new classmate, Emma. He's starting 10th grade. Which is, why does Spinner fucking know, like, Spinner's the exposition, like, that we, like, I don't know why Spinner fucking knows like,
is
that.
Is he working in the principal's office?
I was just working in the office, helping file files. I mean, maybe he was files.
In trouble in the office.
I was just sitting in the office because I beat somebody's ass. And they just cut a line or something. Like, why do you know this, Spinner? Why are you aware of some, like, probably, like, information they want to keep low-key? Because
right, they don't want Rick. To draw attention to it.
Who told him? Does he have a mole in the principal's office, in the administration's office? What's going on? But either way, Spinner knows, and that's why Emma's involved, because Emma just happens to be standing in a cluster on the front steps by herself, but also with, you know, not Manny. She is not with Manny. She is with Spinner and Paige and not Marco, Alex. And that's it. Like, it's not, Jimmy's not there. Hazel's not there.
Right. No. And even Alex being there, like, I remembered she's vice president. And so it was like less weird.
It was less weird, but it's still like, why is she just posted up with Alex? Alex does not like Paige. It's been heavily documented. It just happened. They don't like each other. By proxy, she's not going to be hanging out with Paige's boyfriend. Right. She doesn't know Emma, but she knows Emma enough to know she doesn't
she
like her.
Emma's
she
Emma kicked her ass.
Emma kicked
actually.
Her ass. There was some ass kicking. You know, she fought back. But why would you be standing with two enemies and an enemy by proxy?
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. She could at least be doing something that made sense. But she's just standing there waiting to be roped into the plot. Because right. she has nothing else to do. Because Manny is not friends with her right now. Because Liberty's not friends with her right now. Because she's a piece of shit.
Right.
So, why did Emma need to be involved in this?
Because
do we really need someone to make Rick more sympathetic? Because that's all it does, is give Rick more nuance, give Rick an impartial, somebody who wasn't involved in the initial incident to kind of talk to.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say, and it's going to be controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Is knowing only what we know up until this point, not knowing about like what's to come in Rick's story.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think Rick is a good person? No.
Yeah.
Do I think it is okay that like Rick put Terry in a coma? Absolutely not. I also do think that while Rick is an abusive person, like the coma was a freak accident.
Yeah.
I mean, not super freak accident because they went to Cinder Block Park and like...
They were literally surrounded by cinder blocks.
They were begging for it.
There was Cinder Block City in there, yeah.
But
no, I mean, it wasn't like... So, of course, Rick was abusive. He put his hands on her multiple times when after... You know, she was asking him to get help because she knew that this was escalating. He was, right. His anger was not something he could control. But yes, there was a freak accident portion to it in that he was expecting.
It's not like he pushed her into the cinder blocks. He was pulling her.
No, he, right. I mean.
It like
yeah, it's like she like, she was not trying that to get
in
free,
and of itself wasn't abusive, and, yeah, but it's not the same as he like beat her until she fell into a coma. And again,
no,
still
I mean,
not okay. And I think it's fucked that he's back at Degrassi.
Right. Like he is the reason she is in the coma because she wouldn't have been in that situation
right
without him. However,
but the same could have been true if Paige had gotten in a car crash on the way to or from Cinder Block Park.
Right.
And we wouldn't be blaming, like, and I get that it's different. I'm not trying to argue at all that it's not different and that Rick doesn't deserve to be ostracized to a degree.
I think that what happens in this episode is they want to kind of test how far you're going to take othering someone who may mm-hmm. or may not deserve it. Like, to what degree does someone deserve to be punished?
Right. And I think
not even in any official channels. These are all social channels.
Right. And I think it's very much true that it doesn't matter how much you're othered or bullied or whatever. A school shooting is not an okay answer to that. And mm-hmm. it is fucked up to other people like that. Like,
right.
And a third thing is true, which is that, like, it is perfectly reasonable for a community to say, like, we're not letting this fly here.
Yeah.
You know? And also, there's, like, 8 million kids in Degrassi. Like, go talk to them. And this wouldn't have been a whole fucking shebang to begin with.
Yeah, it feels like this is supposed to be... And I mean, also, I think to an extent they want to talk about how easy it is to get people on the bandwagon for mm-hmm. something that might initially anger them, but ultimately just gathers them together to be like malicious and like a bully. Like, I think they overall, like the way the school bands together to bully Rick
mm-hmm.
is it's very realistic. I think that especially with the way that they're doing the ribbon campaign, students against violence, if you're against violence, you'll sign or so, you know, like that kind of like just language where it's like, you are the bad person. If you don't agree with us, you are just like Rick. If you don't agree with our cause.
Yeah, no, I thought it was interesting. Like, that Ellie was like, oh, how great of you, or whatever it was she said.
Fuck you, Ellie. Ellie had to come in on her little high horse with her slightly better hair this episode and, like, be a very thinly veiled moral, like, not even thinly veiled in that she was being, like, obviously it was very heavy-handed. But I just don't think that she has much of a moral, like, high ground to stand on. Like, mm-hmm. she never was really involved in the issue. When it happened, she was even conflicted about, yes, like, going to the, she was like, I don't even want to go to the hospital because
but I want to
know
like,
Terry.
Support Ashley.
I want to support Ashley, but it feels weird. Like, she expressed that she was just, like, removed from the situation. And I think it's interesting that they decided to have her make that very brief, like, take where it's just like,
but it's very pointed and we don't dive into it at all.
It's very pointed and we don't dive into it at all. So it ends up coming across as like, kind of empty because we don't know what.
Right. Because I think Ellie could very well have a justifiable reason for her disgust.
I think so too. It's just, we don't hear it. We don't get the actual arrow, you know, like it's just a little bit of a scathing comment. And it's, of course, it doesn't feel good in the moment, but what does it really, what does it really mean?
Right.
And of course, Sean has to be there as her ex and disapproving. But like, Sean has been disapproving of her crusade bullshit, as Radich has put it, for nearly their entire relationship.
Right.
Like, he's never true. Like, he likes that she stands up for what she believes in. But I know that he disagrees with the means that she does, that she employs to take out, to carry this shit out. Like, yeah. And he knows that she goes too fucking far. And yeah. That she doesn't realize she's gone too far until it's gotten away from her. Which is what happens here. Like, I don't really blame her for Jay. Because Jay was going to do some shit anyway. He was just waiting
right. On
an opportunity to do some fuck shit. But, like, someone like Alex and like, all those folks gathered in that one space because of her, I think that was more like, they wouldn't have been empowered to be in the dot where right. Rick was. Like, they would have avoided the dot. Like, everyone would have followed Paige out the first day when Emma kicked him out.
Right.
If that would have been the end of it, they would have just avoided the dot for a couple months and then tried to soft launch going back there. Like, try to trickle in, do a little trickle. Like, is his ass coming to get his latte again? Like, you know, like, they would have avoided confrontation with him because they are not a confrontational group.
Yeah.
But Emma just had to take it up in the way that, like, no, we're going to confront him. We're going to be in his face. He can't occupy our spaces. We make these decisions. And just like, Emma, who the fuck are you?
Right. You have nothing to do with this.
Especially since your ground to stay, your all of your legitimacy really rests at Degrassi. You saying that, well, we're not at Degrassi now, you know, I can do whatever the fuck I want, is not true. That, like, you can't do whatever the fuck you want. You can't right. Bar someone from a public place. Like, he has a right to go and patronize whatever business he wants
right. To. You know, or, you know, you could talk to the owner of the dot.
Yeah, if you want to go that far and say, hey, this guy, do you know, there were some issues with him last year. He was assaulting his former girlfriend. He was responsible for her ending up in a coma. Like,
we're not going to come here if he's coming here.
Right. A lot of the student body of Degrassi will not be coming here if he is allowed to come here. And that might have made a difference, Emma. Just in the beginning with Alex's Stark and their back and forth and Emma being like, well, we could actually just go to Radich. Like, we could.
And Alex is like, yep, I'm vice principal. Marco and I got this. Run along, dolphin girl.
Yeah. Like, we don't need your petitions and you to get involved with this shit. But like, fair, it just, she's treating it kind of like another cause. Just like, she didn't know Terry. She literally had to ask what the fuck was going on and who Rick right. Was. Like, it feels like Emma is in this episode because she is one of the purported main characters and not because she truly needed to be there.
Well, I don't think it's because she needed to be there. I mean, I think part of what this episode does, I don't think it's the main focus, but I think that it very much showcases, like, who Emma is as a person.
It does.
And, like, you know, she's all about this cause. And I don't, like, I don't begrudge her being like, no, we're not going to beat this dude up in an alley.
No,
Like, I think that was the right call, but I think that's what we see is Emma, you know, latching onto something and Emma doing what Emma does, which is just kind of be like, fuck you, I'm going to skirt the rules and work around it. You know, we're going to do this peaceful protest ribbon campaign bullshit.
So my thing is, I definitely don't dispute the actions that Emma takes. It's more that we have had these episodes with Emma where we see who she truly is. And I just think she gets way too many of those episodes where other characters don't. There could have been another character that was allowed to take point here. Because I already know that Emma's not going to let that. And it's kind of like I use the analogy of just like a runaway train. Like she just doesn't. She gets in over her head and just the train is she's not able to. She's not the conductor. It runs away from her and she cannot regain control over the train that she launched. So, and that's not entirely her fault. That definitely happens when you involve people in a passionate cause, but just like,
but I think that's why it's gotta be Emma, because we've got to get to where we're going. And,
but I,
you
do
know,
think
I mean, it could have been Alex's time to shine, but Alex would have just beaten Rick up, and it could have been,
I don't think that they needed, I think that Alex played an interesting role but they're trying to develop Alex right now. So they gave Alex something to do. I think it would have been interesting if Hazel maybe had a point or a role to take, because no, she's not like a cause person, but I could see her using her brain to develop some kind of campaign against Rick.
See, and here's my thing is I would love for Hazel to have filled this void, but in order for that to happen, either Hazel has to become not what I know of Hazel and not a Hazel that I like, or whatever Hazel's going to implement does not lead to time stand still.
Whatever Hazel implements does not lead to time stand still. I think that would kind of have to be tweaked because her campaign, I think that why I feel like it would make sense to put her, at least maybe split some of these responsibilities up, maybe not give them all to Emma, is because I do think it is an important kind of show what you're made of sort of formula here. Like it's a high stress, high stakes situation. You have people like Alex who are just involved because of personal experiences. Mm-hmm. And I do think it could be someone like Alex who, because she's involved with the ribbon campaign, she's all for it. And she just, I think she becomes less all for it because she realizes that Emma is showing sympathy for Rick.
Right, that Emma's not the person to run it.
Emma's not the person to run it. But like, I think that someone like Hazel is not going to let herself be bullied by Alex into making a campaign, you know, malicious.
I don't think that she was bullied by Alex into making the campaign malicious. Like, yeah, Alex calling Emma out in front of everybody is what prompts Emma to trip Rick. But the campaign's malicious long before that, because that montage of Rick, like, being blocked off by people and everybody's wearing the orange ribbon and all of that.
Yeah. It's like she's creating like a mafia. So actually then it is the ribbon campaign that is creating
the ribbon campaign is a violent peaceful protest.
It's a violent peaceful protest because it's othering Rick and make, you know, it's about him without them having to outright say it's about him. And I don't think that Hazel would do that, but I think she'd be angry enough to do something because she was very angry.
I just don't know what Hazel does that leads to time stand still.
Yeah. I mean,
because this protest is definitely a part of that chain of events.
Oh, certainly. We can't get there without having this little building block, because this is part of the torment of like getting the entire school to know and be on board with his like daily torment.
Right.
And I'm sure that, and I know we'll see it, because honestly, this is, it really does come so fast. It feels like, of course, it tapers off, but there's still people who are going to be dropping his books.
Right. It's just not the focus for an episode, because Ellie's mom is drinking.
Because Ellie's mom is drinking. We've got to talk about that shit. It feels like this is the establishing of everybody being on high alert about Rick. And Rick was able to kind of have some sort of anonymity, because it was mostly contained to a clique. This happening, you know, it's not like Terry was unpopular, but Terry was not like Paige popular. Like, it just didn't get out in the way.
It wouldn't have gotten any further, really,
if it wasn't for Emma. Yes, like, Emma's Alex the one who Jay amplified probably would have
fucked with Rick.
They would have fucked with Rick incessantly, because now they have proximity to that group.
And that would have sucked.
But it wouldn't have been it. It wouldn't have been everyone in the school knowing about him and at one point participating. And even if that peters off, you know, you still have people who are going to uphold that bullshit, because...
By the same token, like, Rick needed to leave Paige and company alone. These are not people who want to be your friends.
Rick needed and to stop shoving himself. Yes, he needed to stop shoving himself into people's faces. And I think that that's a big lesson, too. It's like, you, and I mean, it doesn't even have to go to something as, like, you know, dire as putting someone's friend into a coma. But like, if someone hurt you, and then they come back later and say, I'm a new person. I've worked on myself. I'm in therapy. I would say that's lovely for you. I'm happy for you. But that doesn't mean that right. changes what occurred. I don't need to
know you.
I don't need to. Right. We don't need to know each other. We don't need to be in each other's lives. And I personally don't want that.
Right. I'm not going to like go out of my way to make your life harder.
Right.
But I am going to ask that you not go out of your way to like interact with me.
Exactly. And that is respectful. And that's really, and like as kids, you know, as adolescents who are still learning how to and like as a person who just turned 30, who's still gonna forever learn to articulate myself, hopefully better as I go on, like it's hard to like say shit like that to somebody. So sometimes the only response is to kind of say nothing. And I don't think that that was a bad response that they had, for all of them to just kind of stare at them, at him, and not respond. And of course, that's in a group setting. So that is a social, like, alienation element to it that maybe doesn't make it clear that, like, we, like, individually, these people don't want to know you. So it could have been established, like, he comes up to Paige, because I think out of everybody, Paige is the most approachable person. Even though she works very hard not to be.
Right.
I think to have her be so scared looking and really not know what to say other than you put my friend in a coma is so telling of how she just doesn't like, I just don't like, you don't make me feel good. It doesn't feel good to be around you. I don't want to interact with you. And I don't know how to articulate that.
Right.
It sucks. And he's trying to force himself in because he feels like he's changed.
And that's great. And you know what? He probably has. He's probably learned some anger management techniques. Mm-hmm. It does sound like he's trying to work on it. But like, if you had finished doing the work, you would realize that like, they don't have to forgive you. They don't have to welcome you with open arms. Y'all weren't friends to begin with.
Yeah, these people don't owe
like,
you.
He's playing the victim so hard when he's like, reads his Gandhi quote in Sobe's era, Kwan's class.
The we cannot forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. Like, choke on it, Rick.
Right.
Okay? Like, it's so... you are not a martyr. You are not someone who has suffered and been persecuted for your beliefs. Like that.
Right. You are someone who put everybody's friend Terry in a coma.
Right. And now because of you,
she's like, gone.
She's fucking gone. With a very poor reason behind her absence. And we have you instead. No, it just feels like you cannot, it like, how dare you come and try to play the victim when
right
these people know who what you've done to them, and you can't try to turn back the clock and make and try to put it in a different light. It's great that you've learned these techniques, and you should, for yourself and for anybody who you hope to have any relationship with in the future. However, I'm not one of those people, and you know, best be on your way, best have a good day before I put my foot up your ass.
Right, you made your impression with me. I'm sorry, it wasn't a good one.
Right. Like, those group of kids are justified in saying, I have seen all I need to see. I am good. And I think, like you said, if Rick had finished the work, and hopefully, you know, there had been some little strings of conversation with his therapist that hopefully he was seeing that wasn't just Sauvay. Hopefully he was seeing a therapist that wasn't just Miss Sauvay.
Yeah, no, that was one of my notes.
I fucking hope so, because Miss Sauvay is not equipped to deal with this alone. She mm-mm. needs help. You like, it's just not owed to you, man. You need to right. realize
even
that.
Even if you've done the work.
Yeah, like, and even if you've done that, like, you, there are just so many instances in your life that, like, varying degrees of bullshit, you don't even have to, like, you, no one owes you an explanation of why they don't want you in their lives anymore. And that very much sucks. But
no one owes you forgiveness either.
No one owes you forgiveness either. You're not owed forgiveness. You're not owed an explanation, and you're not owed a second chance.
Mm-mm.
That's not reality. And it's varying degrees of like of human nature that may cause you to get down this road with some person. But and it hurts sometimes, because I know some doors you wish didn't close the way that they close, but like it, I feel like you find so much more strength when you understand that it's, you need to respect that. You need to respect people and them wanting to live their lives the way they want to live them.
Right.
Like forcing yourself into someone's life, I know can't feel good.
For anybody.
For anybody. It's not fair, and it's not authentic. And if you right. have to force yourself into somebody's life, you really have no business being there. It should all flow, you know. This should be mutual. You should want them, they should want you. But Ricky boy is just literally just in the second session with Miss Sauvay, and Miss Sauvay is overwhelmed.
So they have
not gotten to that chapter in the book yet.
I do want to say, as much as like Emma misses the mark in this episode, she is a little baddie, and I respect that.
She like, held-
when she takes Rick out,
yeah.
When she comes up, like her ribbon campaign is a smart idea. When she fucking like gets in between Alex and Rick, and like her face mm-hmm. says, "I beat your ass once."
She did. That's the thing with Emma. It's like she irritates the fuck out of me, and I think I've said this before, but the show gives us enough that it's very hard to hate her. And I don't really know how people have that justification of being like, I outright hate her, because she's so nuanced. She's almost like a real person. We are given so many different instances of like, I respect admitting that this has gone too far.
Yeah. No.
I made a mistake. This went away from me. This got away from me. I'm putting myself in between this situation. And even if it means not having some relationships, some friendships that I wanted to have, and mm-hmm. being alone, I'd rather be alone and do the right thing.
No, and I, like, by the end of this episode, I respect Emma more than I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And also, yeah, no, I don't know. I think that Emma is, I've said it before, I think that Emma is one of the most compelling characters on this show.
She is.
I disagree with a lot of what she does. I don't think she's a particularly good person.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that's like, all of these people are kids. All of these mm-hmm. people make bad choices
yeah.
that hurt people.
Yeah.
At some point or another, you know what I mean? But like, there's something about Emma versus other people where I'm just like, so much of your shit doesn't seem, and I'm sure that it's just a much more nuanced trauma that I don't understand. But like, you're just like, it's calculated, it's manipulative, it's in a way that other people aren't.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking similarly that I don't, there are so many things that occur in this show that as we talk about them and break them down, I don't know if they could have been carried out by one singular person. It would have had to be split up between other people. Mm-hmm. I feel like Emma is the only one person in this show right now that could convincingly kind of play both the bully and like kind of fall victim to the peer pressure of like, you know, them basically fawning over her and saying you're cooler than, and just having that special position of power that no one else in the group is able to achieve of like standing up to Rick in a sense and like asserting some level of like dominance over the situation. Like,
yeah.
She no, has a and tenacity.
She falls
that none
into
of them,
Mean Girl really quickly.
She's the
you
way
know,
that,
when
yo,
Paige is
we...
trashing Heather Sinclair's eyebrows and she's
yes.
like swoops in with a snarky comment. Yes. Like
no, I agree. It's very the rubber band Mean Girl snap like it she snaps into that like it's second nature, like it's a like a second skin she just slides into.
Yeah.
It's so easy for her to be the mean girl. And I really, to the point where I think she must be wrestling with it all the time. Like, there's mm-hmm. just so many, like, snarky, rude things that she doesn't say because I think primarily she doesn't want to be perceived that way.
I mean, I just don't think she's had the status to or the, like, the surroundings to.
The
like, it doesn't appeal
yeah.
to Manny and
right.
Liberty.
Right. That's true. Her kind of... like the people that she's chosen to be friends with are all fairly nice. And there's not that dynamic of mean girlness in her grade.
Right.
I just think that it's funny that rather than be that mean girl and like take that stance, she decides to kind of straddle the line. Because I
right.
think that's all she really does. It's she's never completely good. She's never completely bad. Almost like a person. No, I think she actually goes a little bit more cartoonish than most actual people do. She really does get her, like, sink her teeth into being a mean girl so quickly. And mm-hmm. I think maybe she feels, like, justified in, like, going full mean girl in this instance because it's against Rick. And everyone is hating on Rick because of her. So she's like, it's fine. It's Rick. He's a piece of shit. You know, no one's going to care if I'm tripping him or starting campaigns against him
because right.
he deserves it. But like, I'm only going to call my ex-best friend, the school slut, to her face because I don't want anybody else to hear me call
right.
her the school slut. I want just her to hear that because if anyone else heard that, they'd think I was a bitch. Like,
and
she's
I'm not.
Very
I'm
strategic.
Emma.
I'm Emma.
I wear dolphin pants.
Like, she specifically caught up with Liberty in the beginning of school, like, you know, right at the start of school and mm-hmm. when she's coming in alone, so no witnesses. But Liberty doesn't care. She still tells her to go to hell, like, several feet away from her. So she's right. Like, bitch, you people will know that you are a piece of shit. Like, I really think that she's strategic with the things that she tried, like her cover-ups, her mm-hmm. mean girlness, and because she really does care what people think about her. And she cares what her image is. And she can't, she would rather be cause girl than a mean girl.
Why not both?
Por qué no las dos? I don't know. She doesn't. She just wants to be like that's. I feel like she just maybe. And even for, like you said, her surroundings, maybe her surroundings are more convenient to just straddle so she can still have friends.
Mm-hmm.
But she can kind of be bitchy when she wants to be bitchy. Little column A, little column B.
It's definitely the start of an era for Emma.
Yeah, she's, yeah, it is. I feel like her little last conversation with Rick was funny because the rest of their interactions feel rather, like, organic. But mm-hmm. this last interaction feels like they had to get this little piece of info on why Rick wanted to come back to Degrassi. And it was like an afterthought. Like
that ominous, like, they will someday.
Yeah.
They will care. Or they don't want to talk to you or whatever.
Yeah, they don't want to hear it. She's like, yeah, they don't want to hear it, Rick. They don't want to hear it. Like, they will someday.
No, they're not interested.
Yeah, they're not interested.
Because he says they will be. Yes. Someday. It's yes. ominous as fuck. I don't care for it. I don't.
Their whole that last conversation I could do without. Because I think yeah. it's obvious why he came back to Degrassi. He likes it there. Why? There's no real reason. Because his time there has been, like, terrible. His entire yeah. time. Like, it's just, he's been in either anonymity in, like, a relationship that he really didn't even seem to like very much with Terry. And, like, terrible theater performance. Like, I don't know. He just hasn't had a really great track record to be like, I like Degrassi. Right, like,
go check out another school, bud.
Go check out Lakehurst.
Right.
Before it burns down. Might be more your vibe.
Maybe you can burn it down.
Maybe you can burn it down and or cause its peril in a different way. Maybe a flood. Who knows?
Ooh, that would be fun.
Spicy, you know, spice it up. But yeah, I feel like that's that's really all I have for this. I just think it's funny how they shoehorned Alex in here. They're like, we got to have something for her to do because once again, we're setting the building blocks for time right. standstill. This is the countdown of time standstill, so to speak. All of these episodes, save for I would maybe say the next one, but maybe not.
Lay groundwork.
It feels like we can't. We're on kind of like it's full steam ahead from here, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Everything. Emma's role in this is actually very understated. I feel like people don't talk about how, like, the role that she plays enough.
Yeah.
She created that, like, she amplified his spot. Like, she put his shit on the front page.
She started a school-wide campaign against this young man.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying that, like, it wasn't justified. I do firmly believe Rick should not be at Degrassi.
He should not be at Degrassi, and Radich should not have let him back in Degrassi.
And his mother should have said no, Rick.
His mother should have told him that we need to go get you a therapist right now because you think that entering back into the situation that, you know, got us here is a good idea.
Right. It's.
And he's losing part. Like, he's already having to lose part of his year, so he has to spend more time at the school. Like, it just doesn't make sense to send him back into that environment. As a parent,
no.
Like, why do you. Like, of course, you want to take into account what your child says because they have autonomy and you want to respect that and nurture that. But you should also want to protect them and protect their interests. And it's not in Rick's interest to go back into a situation where even several students hate him.
Right. No, it's just, it's a bad look all around, and a bunch of bad shit's going to come from it. Leia, and I feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like we've covered this one.
I do. I have one more thing to say, and about Raditch. I feel like Raditch gets a lot of bullshit for his role coming up later, but I do want to point out his role in this episode of him severely warning Emma, but him also shutting down Marco and Alex in the beginning of the episode off screen. Like, he is very stern, and I firmly, like I said a couple minutes ago, seconds, whatever, he should not have let Rick back into Degrassi. I know that was a call he could have made. However, he does kind of take measures to protect Rick from some of the social repercussions of him being back in school. There's only so much as a principal you can do. I think that he initially comes out the gate doing an attempt, you know?
Right. Well, and what are you going to do? Be the principal who who's like, anybody seeing a orange anti-violence ribbon is going to get detention? Like, the optics would be terrible. Or have him eat
in your, you know, office every day, or, you know, segregate him from the rest of the student body in a different way. Is also putting a target on his back. So it's like, it's hard. And I think that he has been doing this a while. He knows that there are social dynamics at play, but he is trying at this point and trying to severely, you know, discourage those people who are trying to talk out against him being there. And it just is not, it's not effective, unfortunately. But I'm ready to get on the road to our segments. Yes.
Word. Fashion segments. Corner.
Fashion corner, yes. All right. So I found some highlights. Like, I felt like, if I had to be honest, the outfit that stood out to me like the most was Manny's pink hat outfit.
It was so bad. That's one of mine.
It was bright.
And it was a lot.
There was a hat. And those shoes.
Chunky earrings.
Yeah, those little bangle white. Yeah, and then those little platform, but like those shoe platform things that were
It was all a choice.
Yeah. I found it very eye-catching. It was kind of bizarre. As far as like good fashion goes, I just like Alex's early style.
It's
very, very casual, very effortless, and it honestly is like one of the aesthetics, if we're going to use the 2024 word, that I really like as far as like Y2K goes. Like, I love it specifically on Alex, on Deanna. I think it's just very effortless. Like, you can tell this is probably how she dressed around this time, because it's so Caroline hit the hit the device a little too hard, y'all.
I'm all good.
But you can tell that it's a very effortless sort of style. I love the way Alex is walking around with her hands in her pockets all the time, and that the tops can really be interchangeable with the bottoms, but it's just very effortless, very casual. I specifically love how the brown top looks on her, because it's a change up from, it's like the brown version of the ribbed tank tops that she typically wears. So yeah, Alex's style is giving me life this episode.
I like Emma's style right now. Like, it's nothing. Yes,
I do.
But
too.
Like, I really like Emma's first outfit with the denim skirt and the
the she's blue wearing polo. That
or it's
a
her
while.
Second outfit, but
her second outfit. But that's the outfit she trips Rick in, because then she switches to like the baby blue.
No, the baby blue is what she trips Rick in.
Oh, it's the baby blue that she trips Rick in? The, mm-hmm. the navy blue with the like
navy
the...
blue is what she kicks Rick out of the dot in.
Oh, okay. And she's wearing the same shoes with both outfits. I don't know what these little Keds are. Those are kind of a miss for me. I mean, they make it, it's an upgrade, I guess, from those little slip-on athletic shoes they had her wearing for every occasion last season. So I guess I can't be too picky. But they are like, we're going to spend $12 on Miriam's shoe budget for the entire season, okay? Just $12. And then when asked why, they say, because we've got to devote all of the budget on shoes to Cassie. We have to. Cassie's character demands the shoes.
I have a controversial fashion, which mm-hmm. is that I do think that Rick's glasses, his replacement ones from sixth grade, mm-hmm. are better than his other ones. I think that they are an upgrade for him.
I'll agree with that. They're not as
they're bigger.
Yeah.
And it works better for his face.
Which is interesting. You would think that they would be smaller because his face was smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But it works. I like them.
Yeah.
Hate Rick, but
yeah. Paige's little pink fluttery top.
I did not like that.
I think I like pink on Paige.
I like pink on Paige. I did not like the execution of that top, though.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like she makes it look as good as it can look. So therefore, I do think it looks good on her. But it's like a wrap type shirt, which I don't really think works well on most people.
Yeah,
just like a wrap dress. I don't. Paige has better outfits. I'm not a fan of a wrap dress. In this episode, in particular, she has better outfits. I think that green off the shoulder is a repeat.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's from Ghost in the Machine. Possibly. Yeah.
But it's cute.
But it's cute. It's still notable enough for me to have written it down. The off the shoulder, the green off the shoulder. I don't know. I feel like Paige had very little like notable fashion at the end of last season. So I'm starting to notice her again with her fashion. It was very low key.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's starting to pick up a little bit again for me. And I did like Manny's flower keyhole shirt. And I like the combination of the flower keyhole shirt with the denim jacket. Mm-hmm. If she took off the denim jacket, I feel like it would sway too matronly.
Yeah. You know,
like it's going to look too like this is like somebody's mom who shops at Boscov's. I love you, Boscov's, but you know what department I'm talking about.
Right.
No teenager should be shopping in that department that sells a top such as that. But the accessorizing that she does with it, the jacket is essential. But like it's fine. I feel like it would be really bizarre if I saw her like take it off. It would be a hard no for me if she took off the jacket. But yeah. It's kind of a hard why for me. But you did it, and you're Manny, and it's fine. Yeah, that's all the fashion I have. Oh, wait.
Go ahead.
Marco. I did want to mention Marco. He did not offend me this episode. His little denim jacket, t-shirt combo was very cute. And I think that's Marco's style versus whatever untailored monstrosity he had going on. He looks good in that. This is Marco's brand.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like this look from Marco. Before we head to where the shots are fired,
mm-hmm.
One, we have what I'm going to count as a Spemma sighting, because I don't know if you noticed how like impressed Spinner looked when Emma kicked Rick out of the dot.
Yeah.
But he looked a little smitten to me.
It's like, that's my future baby.
Right?
There she go.
And then also, I have. So we learned that Heather Sinclair has overplucked her eyebrows.
Do.
And as such, there are two girls during the montage of Rick getting bullied that are both blonde with some overplucked eyebrows that I think could be Heather Sinclair. We'll post them on the socials. I'm sending them to you right now.
Okay.
Is this really fun for our listeners? I bet. Thank God for edits.
Yeah, it just it I definitely kind of judge it on how long does it take to do the thing. Because if it doesn't take that long, I don't care, but yeah.
But from there, shall we go to where the shots are fired?
Yes, indeedy. Let's gallop on. Pew, 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 pew,
Shots fired.
pew. All right, so my first shots fired just comes at the very top of the episode with Alex. I know. Sorry, her line reads, "I know. Let's adopt a dolphin. Train him to defend us from Rick." Emma says, "Or we can talk to Mr. Radich." And Alex says, "Sure, me and Margo can handle that without you."
Yeah.
She does her little turn, scoots her boot.
A lot of shots are fired at Emma this week because my second one, because that was my first one, is Liberty saying Emma lives for stabbing you in the back, ripping out your heart, and stomping it bloodless with her pointy ballerina feet.
That was also my second one. So we're on par. Yes. Fuck Emma this week. It's fuck Emma this week, and I'm not mad at it. My third, technically, it's my second, but it's the third one you guys are going to hear. You know what I mean. Second, you guys are going to hear, but it's my third. I have Toby saying, "Look, it's a stack of dimes."
Yeah, I had that too. Back with another shot fired against Emma. This time we have Radich saying, "This isn't one of your little crusades, Emma. This is serious."
Yes, I had that too. I had that as my five. I actually did sneak in one on my second rewatch before that. I have Emma telling like the group once Marco comes back dejected from being,
Shot down
rejected
by Ra
by
Radich,
Radich.
yeah.
She's like, wow, you guys really handled Radich. Like
I have Emma in the bathroom. Gotta go sip a frap with Paige. Have fun in your hot tub.
yes, I have a little bit before that. I have Manny when Craig walks up, basically to Craig, but I feel like more to JT. She says, "No, it's okay. You weren't interrupting anything."
Yeah, that's a burn.
It sucks. You don't ever want to hear that in kissing mode.
I have Danny in the bathroom with the boys saying the guy said it'll turn your garter snake into an anaconda.
Oh my gosh. I feel like my brain blocked out that whole conversation in the bathroom, so thank you for that. I have Chris saying, "Sit somewhere else, punk."
That was my last one.
Your last one.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. All right, well then I guess I'll just continue forth and pew pew solo. Manny saying, "JT's gonna come over here. I know it. Why won't he just leave me alone?" Emma saying they should confiscate her tweezers or something. Alex saying, "You started this cause, girl." Jay saying, "One, violence is never the answer. Two, we don't care." Alex saying, ribbon campaign's over, Emma. And Emma responding, yeah, so is this.
So sassy.
And then my final one is Manny saying, you know what, JT? Craig does have something you don't, maturity. And I don't mean his size. I mean the way he acts. You're always farting and joking around. Preach, tell that boy right. Something's wrong with him. Okay. I first of all, I just received this photograph that you sent me.
Oh, of my Heather Sinclairs?
Of your Heather Sinclairs. And I think you're going to break the fucking internet with this lady. Why did she look like that? Why are her eyebrows so plucked high? I mean, in such a...
And why would they show her to us if she's not one of the Heather Sinclairs?
Right. She looks so affronted. Oh my gosh, perfect. Chef's kiss. Lovely way to end Shots Fired because yikes. I am still thankful my mom did not let me pluck my eyebrows when I wanted to. I begged her to let me pluck my eyebrows because they are naturally quite bushy. I had a unibrow. She conceded to let me tweeze my unibrow. She was like, you could tweeze your unibrow. You're not touching your actual eyebrow shape. And I now have eyebrows to thank for that. And my mom, obviously. But the eyebrows are the direct result of well, okay, we know you have a stereo system. That is a direct result of my mother protecting me, shielding me from the bullshit, because yikes. All right, y'all. I guess we got to slide on into these fucking bummers. No. Do you want to do this Shining Stars first?
We can, yeah.
I feel like we tend to get bummed out first. Let's do the Shining Stars. I've got to give it to Emma, unfortunately. But I have a caution of I feel like maybe it's more of an honorable mention because of what she sets into motion. Mm-hmm. It's more like I feel like a lot of people would not have been able to run it back but had the guts or the.
Yeah, Emma is firmly both a shining star and a super bummer to me in this episode.
Yeah, I'll give her an honorable mention in both because she's one of those people that I think annoys me. But she hadn't hit her, I'm annoyed with her quota. She's just more of a bitch than mm-hmm. annoying to me in this episode. And it's okay, that's more intriguing. We don't see enough of the bitchy side of Emma. And she's not being bitchy to Manny. So I'm actually less I'm less upset about it. And that's not okay.
I gotta give it to Liberty, too.
Because she gives the most sound.
She's break advice. Up with your boyfriend.
Yeah, break up with your boyfriend. I'm not bored. I'm just concerned about you. And I really feel like you don't want to be in this relationship anymore.
But also I'm probably going to swoop in and date him. But that's not about this.
But that's not about this, nor is it really about you. other than you needing to break up with this boy. Yeah, no, she deserves that because I feel like that's advice that only Liberty could really give. I don't think Emma, I don't think Emma would have been helpful.
Does anybody else shine for you in this episode?
Shine? No. Because I don't even really want to say Paige because it's she kind of sucks.
Right.
Actually. She really just promptly dumps Emma as soon as Emma's not performing like a little monkey, dance, monkey dance for her. As soon as she's not the muscle anymore, Paige is not interested.
Right. Which sucks. Yeah, no, I'm not.
I'm not a fan of, like, Paige is just whatever. It's not a, I think she's more neutral to me than, like, she's not up to her normal, like, antics.
No, because it's like, I think that where she stands with Rick, fully justified.
Totally. Yes.
Especially that, like, he won't leave her alone. It would be an entirely different thing if, like, Rick came back to Degrassi. They kind of grumbled about it. Raj was, like, too fucking bad. Rick went and, like, forged his own path. And then they were like, fuck you, stay out of our school. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you know. While he was just off trying to do his own thing. But he wasn't.
Right, he kept being he was like, in their faces.
Hi, can I talk to you? Can I donate $500 to you? Can I, like.
Yeah, he's wrong. And he should have just left Paige alone. I think her reactions are justified. I just think that she wasn't, like, she didn't shine for me. It, like,
no.
What, she just participated, and she didn't come out of it worse for wear or anything.
So who bummed you out?
Obviously, Rick bummed me out. I agree, like, Emma. Obviously, I discussed that Emma bummed me out. I do feel like even though Manny was justified, she dragging it out and just like the kind of knowing that she, and I think to an extent it was really just like it took the stack of dimes incident and everything for her to realize that she like needed to break up with him urgently versus, you know, maybe she could do it at some point in, you know, like a couple months, but she knows that she doesn't want to be with JT.
Yeah, no.
So I think for that, bummers, she's stringing him along. Yeah.
Speaking JT's of bummers, a bummer.
JT's a fucking bummer. But JT, yeah, like that's the issue here. It's the fact that I'm not big enough for her, like versus.
Right.
Like doing some actual. Like,
because he doesn't actually respect her. He still sees her as a loose girl.
Right, like all that could be the only issue could be that I don't measure up to her sexual expectations.
Right, and it couldn't possibly be that I suck as a
that I suck and have a very very saltine ass personality
and a very juvenile sense of humor.
Yeah, that whole pull my hand thing.
Right.
He's going on the fucking.
He sucks.
He's going on the bummer list for that. Alone, you super fucking bum me out because you elevated the pull my finger gag.
Yeah,
you're rude and you're gross.
Did we say Rick? Obviously, Rick is a bummer.
Yes, Rick was. Yeah, Rick was at the top of the list. Spinner, because although he's justified, he's an asshole.
Yeah, no, Spinner's a dick.
Jay. And obviously, you know, Jay, Alex. Again, Alex, I think, has a personal stake in it, but she's still quite the asshole. Ellie. Just.
Basically, everybody sucks this episode.
Sean, for walking by with that fucking bleach blonde haircut, thought I didn't see.
Right.
You thought I didn't see. I saw, bitch. I saw. And I'm disgusted. No, not good. Not good. Not a good
one. Not good.
Everybody was bumming me out. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody except like Liberty.
Yeah.
And kind of Emma at the end there for like 2 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, on that note.
On that note, we've got one more question to ask.
Yes.
I need to take my bitch ass to bed.
You've been dipping and dodging the Sandman,
girl. Wow, call me out on the fucking air like that. Damn.
Boo, you have been dipping and dodging the Sandman for like 20 minutes now. You have been taking long eye rests.
Sometimes you gotta take a long eye rest.
This is the commitment to the pad and the saucer hood, y'all. Caroline is fighting sleep over here. So yes, we've gotta ask, does it go there?
Does it go there?
I think yes.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. We've got our first instance of a sexery.
We have our first instance of a sexcessory. We
mass
have
bullying.
Mass bullying. We have discussions domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it goes there.
Yeah, it goes there. It does. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Join us next week to watch Mrs. Nash spiral in Anywhere I Lay My Head. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by The Dot, Spencer's Gifts, and support from listeners like you.
Boom.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast, P-A-H-D-C-A-S-T. Thank you.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Margot Mancini,
Evie Piscini,
Miranda Bickers,
Octavia Faith,
and June Bard.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Alika Fenderson
and Corey Newton.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.